know, again, I've said before, fully confident in Cole. It's the reps that he needs to create these calluses that you get when you're young and trying to grow in a position, and being out there is how you get that experience.
Head coach Sean McDermott talking about Cole Bishop, trying to get them live reps, and he's going to get plenty more of them on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a 7:30 kickoff. You'll be able to hear pregame. I'll be on with our guy Zach Jones right over there in the on the other side of the
glass. We'll be on at 2, yeah. Right?
Yes.
We'll be on,
thank goodness.
We're on at 2 early. O'clock. Yes. We'll be a little early because the game starts a little earlier than your typical night game.
Thank goodness this preseason game's not Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
I thought you were going to say, thank goodness this preseason game's the last one, and I
well,
agree.
Yes. Yeah, that too. That too.
It's been...
But...
I feel like it's been a little bit of a trying preseason when it comes to the injuries in camp, to the... not as entertaining game that you saw against the Bears.
This preseason really hasn't provided much entertainment other than...
No.
Other than Hard Knocks, and even that, Hard Knocks is being widely regarded as being boring, but for obvious reasons.
And I'm okay with that if you're a good team.
I'm fine with that, too.
If you're a good team, be boring.
Right.
Show that you have stability.
Right.
Hard Knocks also is not what it used to be. You give the team control of the central message, it allows even a bad team like the Bears to be like, hey, what are we looking for in this one? At the end of the series, it's about hope. The Bears proceed to win 6 games? 5.
Is that what they won
5
last year?
They were 4-2. They lose 10 in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And then they win their last game against Green Bay, right, of all teams.
And it all spiraled out of control with the Hail Mary against Washington.
Right. They went into the bye week, emerged out of it, and then jumped into the depths of hell. So this preseason, though, for the Bills, no, it has not been entertaining. It hasn't been fun. Even the practices are kind of testing your will a little bit. And yet, I could still look at it and go, at the end of the day, you're looking at who hasn't been practicing. Just one player on the defense, and that's your first-round rookie corner.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has been practicing, or at least getting back to it. Shaq Thompson moving up to limited, Cam Lewis moving up to limited today. Good.
Great.
Good. So the defense is not seeing as many of the injuries. Jordan Hancock also not practicing as well. Keonta Jenkins, I'd imagine he's probably fallen behind a little bit now in a battle if they wanted to keep 6 linebackers.
Yeah.
Jimmy Charlo probably will have a chance to make his roster.
It was nice to see him featured a little bit in Hard Knocks on Tuesday.
Right.
Nice little feel-good story.
Feel-good story.
Yeah.
He played pretty well on a short week with the Giants game in the first preseason game. Did look a little solid there. I will be a little interested in seeing how that unfolds at the end of the day. That said, again, Bishop's going to play a lot here. Or not a lot. He's going to play some snaps. He's probably going to be one of a few starters that even does. You're probably not getting much else out of this game.
As
you should.
So
if you are looking to be entertained by the third preseason game, well, just hope that the players that did not do well and got punched in the mouth last week respond in proper kind.
Root for backwards passes.
I'm rooting. No. No.
Matt Simpson.
You're not sitting here on Saturday. No.
I'd love to stream your guys' post-game show after the preseason game if there's another incident like this.
I will say it in a different language for you right now. No.
Is that Spanish or French?
Yes. I'm using a cop-out here.
Yes, I know.
But no.
I'm of the favor of, hey, preseason games should be like soccer. Running clock after the first half.
Running clock just in general.
Running clock.
Running clock. Just in general. You could start it in the first quarter. It's okay.
Yeah.
Especially the third one.
I mean, especially in games like the one this past Sunday. Holy crap, man. After that third quarter, it's just like, just get this over with. No more injuries. No more. I just don't care about anything that happens in this game anymore.
Nate Geary.
They
is
tie.
Out there.
They tie in the preseason. I love ties.
Nate Geary in the newsroom before that game. I go up to him. I go, I know that this game is going to be tough because there's no starters. And I have the fool that I am says, hey, if you want someone there to, you know, join you for a post game, I can do that. Nate immediately takes me up on it. And then they get shellacked.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. I got roped into this. But I did it on my own. It's my fault.
Yes. But you got no one else to blame but yourself.
No one else to blame but myself. Story of my life. But there is something to look for, though, in this game. There is something to look for and evaluate, at least in the first half of it. Can I see Deion Walker make another splash play? He made a nice one against the Giants where he swims on through, bats the ball down near the Giants' end zone. He forces what ultimately is an incompletion that gets returned by Dwayne Carter for a not touchdown.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. Come on. You got to let the thick six stay.
Come on.
Come on. You got to let the big man touchdown stand. Have to. I hate when rules take those away. But Deion Walker's made a couple splash plays.
Yeah.
Can you put a little bit more consistency to it? Please. Landon Jackson. He has a really nice pass rush move on one play, but I haven't seen enough from him.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more. A.J. Epinesa. I would want him playing so that he can avoid the cut line. I would want to see just a little bit more from those young guys up front and even some of the veterans. Like Javon Solomon, he has a couple of knockdowns in the game, but
yep.
Nobody really notices because he got smacked around 38-0,
yeah.
Or whatever the final score was for that game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how some of these younger guys push some of the veterans that might be on that line of whether or not they're going to get cut or whether or not they're going to be retained. It's going to be interesting to see the Deion Walkers and the TJ Sanders and continue to play the Landon Jacksons, even like the Dorian Strongs. I wish Jordan Hancock was playing because I've actually liked what I've seen from Jordan Hancock.
Hancock
for the
has
most
looked fantastic,
part.
Actually. Yeah. Probably the most consistent of the rookie class.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, because that game gave Bills fans no peace,
mm-hmm.
Do we get an injury to the promising rookie, the most promising one that we've had in terms of consistency?
Yeah. Javon Solomon's,
that game was just a nightmare.
Yeah, Javon Solomon's another name that you mentioned that's kind of towing that line. I know that he's a really good special teamer. I think the Bills value him for more so his special teams play. But I'm looking forward, if anything, to how these young guys respond from that Bears game and then how they go to the next level to respond to push some of the more veteran players or the guys that have just been around a little bit longer and really kind of forcing the Bills into the matter of we've got these good young talents pushing some of these guys that have been around but are on that line like an A.J. Epinesa. I don't know about Daquan Jones maybe.
This is where I need to see another splash play from TJ Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I need to see another splash play from Deion Walker. Why? Give me more confidence in the core question that I have.
Yeah.
How confident do you feel in the defense mm-hmm. this year? It has been publicly said by the general manager that they wanted to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and made moves to try to fix this.
Yep.
I think Bosa, it's just going to be, can you play the 17-game season and into the playoffs? Because he looks the part.
Mm-hmm.
Rousseau is probably going to benefit from having Bosa there. Because if Joey Bosa is acting like his usual self when he's on the field, you're going to have to pay attention a little bit more. Rousseau should have more one-on-one situations.
Mm-hmm.
Good. If Sanders is able to play next to Ed Oliver like he was in joint practices against the Bears, that's two guys that can get up the field fast when they're on their game. Oliver has a little bit of an inconsistency issue. I think that making sure that you stack the rotation of defensive tackles is one way to help get them out of that. But show me a morsel. Give me something to take out of this last preseason game and a reason for Bills fans to at least watch a little bit of it. Because I don't blame many of you if you decide, I saw what happened last week. The starters aren't playing again. I'll see you later. I don't blame you for a second for that. You got burned last week if you went and sat and watched that game. It was, unfortunately, not your entertainment time that you were being utilized with there. It wasn't a great watch. So I don't blame you if you go, I got better things to do on a Saturday night. Don't blame you. But I do want people to come back to looking on Twitter or on highlight package saying, man, I missed that from Deion Walker. I missed that from TJ Sanders. I missed that from Landon Jackson. Just give us something to bring from this game as a highlight reel so that we can go ahead and be like, what do you mean Shane Buechel chucked three touchdowns?
Fourth string quarterback chucking Zach. Touchdowns.
There's Zach.
Hook 'em horns, baby.
There it is. There it is. I had to pick Buechel because
that'll lock me in for Saturday night.
Yeah, you
better hope that happens. I will be locked in.
I will film you doing backflips.
It won't be backflips. It'll be tears.
You'll be doing something.
It'll be tears.
Is Daquan Jones one of those guys that's, in your eyes at least, on the watch list for getting cut?
I don't think he's on the bubble at all.
Okay.
Especially because Ogunjobi's out for 6 weeks.
Right. I get that.
Your D-tackle depth, you do need that there.
Yeah.
And Jones is a piece that you can rotate in. If Ogunjobi comes back in 6 weeks and they may want to answer that question, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But you and I will probably cross it like in the newsroom or something.
If they do cut him, he's $3.724 million dead cap.
How much would they save?
That's according to SpotTrack, at least.
That's the big question.
Right.
Because the Bills do have a cap projection of the lowest in the NFL in their top 51.
Doesn't look like
they... That's fine. Normal. You're a good team. And if they're not really saving much money, then why do it? Is effectively my question there. Because getting rid of Curtis Samuel, for example, it doesn't look like that's something that's in the Bills' plans. The only way you'd be able to do it is if you found a trade to get that cap space off of your books. I don't see it happening. So unless there's money to be made in making a cut like that.
$5.5 million.
Oh, you'd say 5.5?
That's at least what I looked at when I clicked on the little scissors next to him for this year. Post 6-1 release. 2025 dead cap would be actually $3.908 million. Mm-hmm. 2025 savings, 5.5.
Okay, so I don't think it's in the plans. But it's not a zero now.
Right. And as long as, you know, Deion Walker and or TJ Sanders show up and can kind of prove to...
But I haven't seen enough from them in the preseason to outright cut Daquan Jones. Simple as that.
Okay, fair enough. So,
I think that he's going to be part of the rotation this year. And if he plays less snaps, though, for example, fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I think that they've done enough at D-tackle that you can warrant that. Especially with, oddly enough, Walker's the bigger body.
He's huge.
But he's looked better in pass rush than he has in run situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So can you imagine you put the 6'7 guy in on third down instead of the player that you would think would be the quicker one in Sanders? Nope, it's Walker probably.
Yeah.
And that would be fun. I also was a little bit bullish on Walker heading closer to the draft, but... You invest in such a good draft class, such a deep draft class, twice. You should be able to get results out of it.
I'm just intrigued how that position plays out once Ogunjobi returns. Because are you going to keep, then it would be 5 or 6 defensive tackles on the roster?
That is where we have to cross the bridge about Daquan Jones later on.
Yeah. That's because that you got Dwayne Carter.
Dwayne Carter or Daquan Jones, you're probably looking at one of them.
Good signs of... A solid pick by the Bills early. Then he got his wrist injury. I think it was a wrist. Got the surgery. Was out for a while. And similar to Keon Coleman, when he came back from his wrist injury, Dwayne Carter wasn't necessarily the same player last year when he came back. So it's interesting how that kind of plays out with him. Because again, he's another guy that was very highly thought of when the Bills drafted him, a letter player at Duke for 3 years and really solid player down the middle of your defensive line.
Yep.
And shows good promise in his first year that got derailed by injury, and now year two is big for him because it's just, okay, can he stay healthy? Can he come out and he does good things right off the bat? If he does, awesome. If not, then okay, what do you do?
Well, there's only one way to find out. Get us to September, please. 803-0550, the number to call. John Ledyard, Audible's and Analytics Pod, as well as the Read Optional Pod, will be joining the show at 4 o'clock. For Mike Chopin, the Bulldog, Derek and Brayton here with you on WG.